The Nine Attributes of the Buddha by Sele Susila. Part 2, Chapter 6. Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati. Incomparable leader of men to be trained. In Pali, Anuttaro means unexcelled, incomparable. Purisa means men. Dhamma means to be trained or to be tamed. Sarati means a leader or a charioteer. The Buddha is the foremost amongst all beings. In the special qualities of virtue, concentration, wisdom, and the knowledge of deliverance, he is without equal, or is the equal only of other fully enlightened ones. Since there is no one to compare with him, he is incomparable, Anuttaro. The Buddha said, quote, "In this world with its devas, Mara and Brahma, in this generation with its ascetics and Brahmins, its devas and humans, I do not see another ascetic or Brahmin more perfect in virtue, concentration, wisdom, liberation, knowledge and vision of liberation than I, whom I could honor and respect and dwell in dependence on." End quote. Samyutta Nikaya 6.2. Leader of men to be trained, Purisa Dhamma Sarati, means the Buddha has the ability to train or tame beings that could or should be trained or tamed. The Buddha clearly understood beings both with little dust in their eyes, such as the Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Moggallana, and those with much dust in their eyes, such as the King of Kosala. The Buddha understands who has keen intelligence to hear profound expositions, such as on the not-self characteristic of the five aggregates, and who has dull intelligence. Therefore, the Buddha expounded the discourse on the characteristic of not-self, Anattalakkhana Sutta, to the first group of five bhikkhus, who had sharp faculties, and all of them became arahants. For those with dull intelligence, the Buddha exhorted them to develop generosity, morality, and restraint of the sense faculties, and then gradually train in meditation. There are people who are easily trained, and there are some who are difficult to train. An easy-to-train individual is exemplified by the Venerable Kema, who was named the female disciple foremost in wisdom, and Venerable Bahiya Dharuchirya. The most difficult individual to be trained is exemplified by the Venerable Uduvela Kassapa, who the Buddha had to tame by displaying various kinds of psychic powers. Kema was the chief consort of King Bimbisara. She was extremely beautiful and very conscious of her exquisite beauty. As such, she did not want to see the Buddha or hear the Dhamma, as the Buddha had made it quite clear that external beauty was impermanent and of no value to enlightenment. King Bimbisara, who was a devoted follower of the Buddha, wanted his queen to listen to the Buddha's teachings. King Bimbisara had his musicians describe in song the natural beauty of the grove in which the Buddha was residing. Kema, who was extremely fond of beauty, was attracted by the song and visited the monastery to experience the beauty of the grove. The Buddha was giving a discourse to a large gathering when he saw Kema in the distance, approaching the monastery. With his psychic powers, he created a vision of an exquisitely beautiful maiden by his side, fanning him. Kema, enchanted by the beauty of the grove, walked closer and closer to the gathering until her attention was drawn to the beautiful maiden who was fanning the Buddha. When seeing the maiden, whose beauty far surpassed her own, her pride was subdued and her mind became soft. The Buddha then made the beautiful maiden age slowly before her eyes. Kema saw the maiden's beautiful skin wrinkle, her hair change to gray, and her body age. She then saw the body collapse with age and die, leaving behind just a rotten corpse infested with maggots, which in turn changed to a heap of bones. Kema was deeply stirred by the drastic change of life. Understanding that one's beauty and life are impermanent, Kema realized that the same would happen to her. How could she retain her beauty when this exquisite vision aged and decomposed right before her very eyes? Kema was ready to listen to the Buddha, who then dispensed to her the dangers of lust and sensual pleasures, and requested her to give up transient sense pleasures. Directing her spiritually advanced mind to the teachings, Kema attained arahantship on the spot while still a laywoman. She then received permission from King Bimbisara to enter the noble order of nuns. Kema was able to penetrate the truth so quickly because of her virtuous practices and wisdom many aeons ago. Because of her strong attraction to the truth and wisdom, Kema had attained birth in the proximity of Buddhas, Pacheka Buddhas, and Bodhisattvas in many previous lives. The ability to subdue those who are difficult to train. The Buddha fully understood the habits and tendencies of all beings. Thus, his teaching is adaptable to various situations and conditions, fit and proper for each being. For those who are difficult to train, the Buddha had unique and extraordinary training methods. For example, he used his psychic power to subdue Angulimala, the killer. He used wisdom and wit to subdue Sachaka. He used patience and wisdom to subdue the man-eater Alavaka. Subjugating Alavaka with loving kindness, wisdom, and patience. Alavaka was a yaka, a fierce demon, who was the protector of the Alavi kingdom. Alavaka asked the people to offer him human flesh for his daily food. Even the prince, the only son of the king, had to be sacrificed. The people of Alavi were distressed and frightened. No one was brave enough to stand up against Alavaka. One morning, as usual, the Buddha was seated in meditation. When his mind was concentrated, the Buddha surveyed the three worlds with his divine eye, looking for beings whose faculties were ripened and who could be guided to liberation from the bondage of samsara. During that time, Alavaka and the little prince came into his sight. The Buddha decided to guide Alavaka and save the little prince at the same time. After finishing his meal, the Buddha walked to the kingdom of Alavi. Arriving there in the evening, the Buddha went to Alavaka's cave, but Alavaka was away. The Buddha went into the cave, sat on Alavaka's seat, and expounded the Dhamma to the Yakini, female Yaka, there. Upon returning home and hearing this, Alavaka was very angry. He called for all of his troops and created 9 kinds of terrifying thunderstorms, wind, and rain to attack the Buddha. The Blessed One faced it in a manner that was friendly, calm, and full of compassion, patience, and tolerance. The thunderstorm did not hurt the Buddha at all, but instead changed into scented sandalwood powder to honor the Buddha. The unlimited loving kindness of the Buddha weakened the windstorm. Seething with anger, Alavaka decided to use his most lethal weapon to attack the Buddha. It was said that these extraordinarily powerful weapons could destroy the world. However, before the weapons could touch the Buddha, they all fell as pieces of cloth at his feet. The defeated Alavaka was very ashamed and distressed. He knew the power of the Buddha came from his great loving kindness that can dissolve hatred and anger and bring peace to the hostile. The thought came to Alavaka's mind that if he could make the Buddha become angry, he had a chance to win. So Alavaka stepped into his cave and instructed the Buddha very arrogantly, "Get out, Samana." The Buddha obeyed his instruction because he knew that by not resisting, Alavaka's heart could be softened. Then Alavaka said again, "Get in, Samana." Alavaka told the Buddha to get in and get out of the cave 3 times. The 4th time, the Buddha said, "Friend, I will not get out anymore. Do as you see fit." Alavaka then said, "Okay, Samana, I will ask you some questions. If you cannot answer them, I will overthrow your mind, split your heart, seize your 2 feet, and throw you to the other side of the Ganges River." The Blessed One answered, "Friend, in this world with its devas, maras, and brahmas, I do not see any being, neither a human, nor a deva, nor a mara, nor a brahma, who can overthrow my mind, split my heart, seize my 2 feet, and throw me to the other side of the Ganges River. But if you would like to ask anything, you may do so." Then Alavaka said to the Buddha in verse, "What here is the best wealth? What practiced well brings happiness? What is surely the sweetest taste? How lives the one who they say lives best?" The Buddha answered, "Faith here is a person's best wealth. The Dhamma practiced well brings happiness. Truth, Satya, surely is the sweetest taste. Living one's life wisely is best." Alavaka asked his questions all at once, and the Buddha answered the questions one by one, sequentially. Upon hearing the Buddha's answers, Alavaka attained the stage of Sotapanna, stream enterer, Samyutta Nikaya 10.12. This is how the Blessed One, with loving kindness, patience, and great wisdom, subdued Alavaka, the fierce human-eating demon, and transformed him into a good disciple with strong faith in the Triple Gem. Because the Blessed One's ability to use various and exact methods to subdue beings to be tamed, the Buddha is called the incomparable leader of men to be tamed, Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati. Subduing Satchaka by means of unexcelled debating skills. Using his excellent skill in debating, the Buddha straightens the wrong views of others and guides them to the right view, leading them to take refuge in the Triple Gem, as in the tale of Satchaka. Once there was a man of wrong view named Satchaka, who held strongly to the view of a permanent self or soul, Atta. He strongly believed that the five aggregates were he and his self. Satchaka was also quite boastful about his debating skills. He proclaimed in public, "I do not see any bhikkhu, the head of any community, the head of any religious group, or even one who claims to be a Sammasambuddha, brightly self-awakened, who, engaging in debate with me, would not shiver, quiver, shake, and break out in sweat in their armpits." Although hearing about the Buddha's teaching that the five aggregates were impermanent, suffering, and not self, Satchaka adhered to his view that the aggregates were permanent, pleasant, and connected with a permanent self or soul, and he was confident that his view was right. Then, with his 500 disciples, Satchaka went to dispute the Buddha's teachings with the intention of defeating the Buddha in debate. The Buddha skillfully asked Satchaka, "So are you saying that the body is you and yourself? Are you able to control your body by saying, 'Let the body be like this,' and 'Let the body not be like that?'" Satchaka was in deep water. If his answer was no, then it violated his doctrine. But if he said yes, he could not prove it. So he kept silent, not giving any answer. Satchaka continued to keep silent even though the Buddha repeated his question again. The Buddha said, "One who does not answer when he is asked a legitimate question by the Tathagata up to 3 times, his head splits into 7 pieces right there." After saying so, the Buddha and Satchaka saw a thunderbolt deva with a flaming thunderbolt in his hand aimed at Satchaka, ready to execute his task. Satchaka was afraid and his hair stood on end. He immediately answered the Buddha, "Master Gotama, I am not able to control my body, to let it be like this, to let it not be like that." The Blessed One answered, "Pay attention to your answer. What you said after is not consistent with what you said before." The Buddha continued to ask, "If feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness are myself, are you able to control feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness by saying, 'Let my feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness be like this, and let my feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness not be like that?'" Satchaka answered, "I am not able to do this, Master Gotama." The Buddha asked again, "What do you think? Are body, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness constant or inconstant?" "Inconstant, Master Gotama." "Is what is inconstant pleasant or unpleasant?" "Unpleasant, Master Gotama." "If they are impermanent, suffering, and subject to change, is it right to regard them as, 'This is mine, this I am, this is myself'?" "It is not right, Master Gotama." "What do you think? If a person clings to suffering, holds to suffering, regards suffering, the five aggregates, to be mine, I, and myself, would he fully understand suffering or cease suffering totally?" "It is impossible, Master Gotama, impossible." "As to what you have said, thus do you not cling to suffering, hold to suffering, and see suffering, the five aggregates, as mine, I, and myself?" "That is so, Master Gotama." Satchaka was helpless after the Buddha questioned him repeatedly. His doctrine that the five aggregates are mine, I, and myself could not be defended anymore. Sweat sprang from his forehead and began to soak his whole body. His whole robe was wet as well. At that time, Satchaka had no choice but to admit the unexcelled wisdom and incomparable debating skill of the Buddha. Faith in the Buddha arose, and he offered a meal to the Buddha and the community of monks, Sangha, the next day. Majjhima Nikaya, 35. Subduing the robber Angulimala by supernatural power. Every day, the Buddha observed the whole world with the divine eye to see if there was anyone who was ripe for enlightenment. He would speak to them gently, guiding them away from the wrong path and toward the right path. For example, The Buddha helped Angulimala, whose name means necklace of fingers, a ferocious murderer in Kosala, the kingdom ruled by King Pasenadi. A ruthless serial killer who killed countless men, Angulimala cut off the fingers of his victims and wore them as a necklace. He was so fierce that even the king and his warriors were frightened merely at hearing his name. However, our great teacher, the Buddha, had no fear at all. Out of compassion, he went to Angulimala, like a father full of love would seek out his lost son. With his supreme wisdom and loving kindness, the Buddha subdued and tamed him. He made Angulimala abandon violence, leave his bad habits, and become a good man. How did the Blessed One subdue Angulimala? One morning in Savatthi, the Blessed One perceived with the divine eye that if he did not go to Angulimala that day, then Angulimala would commit one of the five unwholesome weighty kamas. After the Blessed One had gone into the city of Savatthi for alms food, he went in the direction where Angulimala was known to operate. Angulimala saw the Blessed One passing by and thought, "Amazing! This monk is not afraid to walk alone in this place. Why don't I kill him?" Unsheathing his sword, he ran after the Blessed One with the intention to kill him. The Blessed One used his psychic power to make it so that no matter how fast Angulimala ran, he could not catch up with the Blessed One, who continued walking calmly. Angulimala thought, "Amazing! In the past, I have even chased and seized a swiftly running elephant, but now, even though I am running at full speed, I cannot catch this Samana who is walking calmly." Then he stopped chasing the Blessed One and shouted, "Hey you, stop! Samana, stop!" The Blessed One answered, "Angulimala, I have stopped already. It is you who should stop." Angulimala said to himself, "This Samana is walking." But he said, "I have stopped already. It is you who should stop." Angulimala then asked the Blessed One, "What do you mean?" The Buddha said, "Angulimala, I have totally stopped harming and killing, but in this respect, you are not restrained at all. Thus I said, I have stopped already. It is you who should stop." Hearing these words, a sudden change of heart came over Angulimala. All the suppressed noble qualities that were lying in the corner of his heart were awakened. He realized the monk was not an ordinary monk, but the Blessed One himself, who came to guide him back to the right path. He immediately threw away his sword, bowed his head, saluted the Buddha, and asked to be ordained. He practiced diligently and at last became an arahant. Majjhima Nikaya 86. By totally destroying his ignorance and craving, Angulimala became free from the suffering of the cycles of death and rebirth. When he realized parinibbana, all his unskillful kamas of killing he committed previously became lapsed kama, or ineffective kama, and did not produce any result, ahosi kama. The result will take place only when the five aggregates are manifesting. Parinibbana is like a flame going out. There is no more arising of five aggregates to which the results of unwholesome kama could attach. Guiding by conforming to the tendencies, the story of Venerable Bahiya. Alternatively, the words Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati, incomparable leader of men to be trained, can be taken together as one clause. It implies that when the Buddha preaches the Dhamma, even just one time to those with high intelligence, they can attain the path and fruition on the spot. An example is the tale of the Venerable Bahiya Dharuchirya. Bahiya Dharuchirya wore bark cloth as his clothes, which made him appear to people a very noble and serious ascetic. Thus he was honored by many people, which led to him wondering whether he was an arahant. A deva, who had been a close friend and practiced together with him in previous lives, came and informed him that he was not an arahant. But, the deva continued, there was a real arahant. A Buddha had come into the world. Upon hearing this, Bahiya was moved. He walked day and night to reach the city of Savatthi to meet the Buddha. When Bahiya arrived, the Blessed One was on his alms round. Bahiya saw the tranquility, peace, and equanimity of the Blessed One. Completely mesmerized, he approached the Buddha hurriedly, rendered a salute, and asked the Blessed One to teach him the sublime Dhamma at once. The Blessed One knew that in previous lives, at the time of Paramuttara Buddha, Bahiya had made an aspiration to become the quickest to attain arahantship, Kipabinya, one who, by only hearing a few words from the Buddha, could reach arahantship. However, because of his exhausting journey, together with his excited emotional state, it was not a proper time to listen to the Dhamma. After Bahiya pleaded 3 times and became more emotionally settled, the Buddha expounded the Dhamma that was fit for him. Quote, Bahiya, you should train yourself thus. In the seen will be merely what is seen. In the heard will be merely what is heard. In the sensed will be merely what is sensed. In the cognized will be merely what is cognized. When Bahiya, for you, in the seen is merely what is seen, in the cognized is merely what is cognized, then, Bahiya, you will not be with that. When, Bahiya, you are not with that, then, Bahiya, you will not be in that. When, Bahiya, you are not in that, then, Bahiya, you will be neither here nor beyond nor in between the two. Just this is the end of suffering. Close quote. Udana 1.10. As the spiritual faculties of Venerable Bahiya Dharuchidya were matured, at that very moment, all of his blemishes were eradicated. Free from all taints, he attained the fruit of arahantship, arahatapala. The Buddha, being an incomparable leader of men to be trained, has his own way of training others. As he said, quote, I train a tameable person sometimes with gentleness, sometimes with harshness, sometimes with both gentleness and harshness. End quote. Anguttara Nikaya 4.111. End of chapter.